Before we get started, because you are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, throughout the show tonight, we'll give you some opportunities to win a chance to have a night out with us.
Yes.
With me and Andrea, we're going to be at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. Five winners will get a pair of tickets to see the world premiere of Witch on Thursday, October 11th at 7:30. And you can meet us beforehand. We're going to hang out before the performance. And this is where the devil comes knocking.
Yeah.
The devil, I mean, like, do you think it's like a, is it like a gentle knock? Right? Because I would think the devil would kind of like be subtle, right?
You know,
like
like a,
do you think it's more of a
boom?
I mean, would it, yeah.
No, I think there's, I think it's like an echo, like an Orson Welles, like a boom, boom, boom. I picture the Thriller video.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
That's scary.
Comptroller Mendoza, how do you think that the devil comes knocking?
I think he would, like, when you're sleeping, like, pull your sheets when you're thinking you're safe and secure.
And he wears Prada.
Scary as heck, you know?
Right?
We can find out how the devil comes knocking when you see the play. And for your chance to win, you can go to wgnradio.com/contest or continue listening to the rest of the show because we'll be giving out some tickets.
Yeah, and you know what? I am looking forward to seeing this because this is cool. And yeah. Not just because you read it kind of eerily and scary.
Oh, yeah. No, that's goofy. That was a clown.
I think, yeah, this looks super cool.
And don't answer the door, yeah. Andrea.
That's more like Marilyn Monroe-ish.
Don't answer the door, Andrea. Don't answer the door. Sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Now that would make me want to answer the door.
All those
sounds kind of pervy there.
It does, you know. Okay, yeah. So I don't know. See, I'm always trying to find my space, and that's one of the reasons we have Comptroller Mendoza in studio with us. We are going to talk about the Illinois Anti-Harassment Equality and Access Panel and their report on advancing women in politics and addressing sexual harassment in political campaigns. Mm-hmm. But I think that it is hard to figure out our space, Andrea.
When it
comes to work and being in,
right.
You know, in restaurants or bars, even because. Okay, let me ask you a question. When you go out to eat by yourself, have you ever had a guy just come over and go, oh, you're too cute to be eating alone? It's the weirdest thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've never had that happen?
Okay,
or at the bar alone?
I don't eat by myself.
Oh, I forgot. You
We had a whole show on this. I don't really eat by myself.
Comptroller, mm-hmm. She never goes out to eat alone.
I don't. If I do, I'll sit in my car or I'll sit at, you know, I'll just kind of sit outside or sit on like a
ledge. Is it because people might bother you?
Just feel weird.
Yeah, I just kind of want my own space. Yeah, I just, I would never like go to a restaurant and it's just, I don't have time.
Of course,
that's the only reason.
My telling you horrible stories, like sitting, I was in a Cubby's, my Cubby's shirt and a hat and my braids.
Hey.
And I was at Howls and Hood and this guy came over and sat down. He goes, hey, how come you're eating by yourself? And so maybe, but I mean, I also feel confident enough to tell them I'm married and get away from me.
Right.
But I shouldn't even say I'm married,
mm-hmm.
Which are situations women find themselves, whether it's in social situations or in work. And part of that is not having enough role models, maybe, in the political atmosphere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Plus, I see that huge ring on your finger. The guy should maybe look before he comes up to you.
I don't always wear it.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. This ring is from Kohl's. I'll be honest. I don't wear my real engagement ring. I'm serious.
You don't?
I'll throw it at you.
All right.
How come?
Because I.
You don't want to lose it?
No, it's too small.
Oh, okay,
my original engagement ring is too small.
Okay.
And then I've never had it resized because after I had kids.
No, yeah.
I'm gonna, remember your joints?
Poopy fingers.
Yes.
And yeah.
Oh. All those things.
Did your fingers hurt?
Every...
Like right before you actually, you know, that last month, I remember waking up and my hands hurt so bad.
Oh.
Like my fingers weren't swollen.
Yeah.
But like my joints just hurt. They were like painful. And I thought, oh my God, I hope this goes away once the baby comes. And it did.
And it
all
did.
Good.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. It went away from me too.
But I was like, I think that's is what arthritis feels like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. Michael, do you happen to remember how many pillows I sleep with to this day? Do you have a number on that?
Yeah, I just sent it back from NASA. I just got all the
yes,
the requirements, and it's 1,432.
It's 22 pillows.
22, okay, that's
I have 22 pillows in my bed because when I was pregnant, I had
Do you really?
Okay, let's go to a break before
Whoa.
We go down this path of insanity.
It just takes too long to make your bed with 22 pillows.
Are they all
pillows.
Decorative?
Think
it's impossible.
Think of all the
impossible.
Time you've wasted
who
in your life.
Who says I make my bed? You're adorable.
Wait, are they all decorative?
No.
You, they're pillows.
Like they're
that,
like I, body pillows?
Two body pillows.
Okay.
So it's basically a
okay,
moat.
Okay, that's two.
So that's two.
Okay, where do you fit the other 20?
So, okay, actually, there's three body pillows. So there's two on either side of me and then one along the wall behind me. This
okay.
is a lot.
Where's your like husband fit into this?
Exactly.
Mix?
We
this
have
probably
not,
too much info there.
This is why we stopped the two kids.
He's like, right. He's in the other room.
He's got a rappel over the pillows.
He's in the hammock.
Right, in the backyard.
Without a pillow.
We are going to run to the news. We are hanging out with Comptroller Susana Mendoza, who, by the way, is our Comptroller Mendoza, the first woman elected to the Chicago City Clerk. clerk. She was six-term state representative, the first Latina to hold statewide office. Not that I'm excited about that.
On the Democratic side.
On the Democratic side. Who was on the Republican side?
Evelyn Sanguinetti.
The lieutenant governor.
Yes.
Yes.
She ran on Governor Honor's ticket.
All right, so there's a, and I apologize, on the Democratic side. Although when you run attached to a ticket, it's a little bit. I mean,
yes,
she,
I'm the first,
but she did have an influence
yes,
on the.
I'm the first Hispanic in either party to be independently elected. Right,
there you
so
go.
Like people had to physically vote for me. I didn't run on a ticket.
Right,
but still, I mean,
alone.
Yeah,
live and alone. It sounds like a concert.
I like that. Live and alone.
Is that good?
I do like that. Did I mention that production of Witch we're going to go see? I think I mentioned
Which
that.
Witch?
Exactly. Don't miss Witch at Writers Theater, a new play by Jen Silverman, directed by Marty Lyons. Would you know what to ask for if the devil came knocking on your door? Mischief is afoot in the village of Edmonton when two young men come into conflict and help present itself as the devil himself. While they attempt to accomplish their own questionable ends, someone else in town stands her ground. Elizabeth, whom everyone believes is a witch. Writers Theater is just minutes from Chicago on the Edens or Metra. I'm taking, you know what? Andrea, you know what we should do? You drive and I'll take Metra, and let's see who gets there first.
Let's do that. Yes.
Yes.
You're going to win.
I don't know about that.
You'll totally win.
I don't know. We'll
You'll
see.
Totally win. Yeah.
Depends. Patty's on Patty. Yeah.
All right.
There's
yeah.
no like breaks in between. You're just going to get there.
Oh, it's
there's
awful.
No traffic.
The Kennedy should
and
just
I,
be
I get to
blown
nap.
Up.
Do you want to take Metra and I'll drive?
No, see? I'll drive.
All right.
You,
then.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
then.
Probably want to nap.
We'll figure.
I don't think I can nap on the train.
But then I'll miss my stop.
I can't because I feel like you have to guard your purse and stuff.
I think that too, or I'll miss my stop.
Yeah.
See, I'll miss my stop.
I have not.
Next
taken,
stop, Milwaukee.
I have taken a train. It's been 10 years since I've taken the train. Not the L. I've been
so
on the L.
You don't
the
need
Metro.
A loan. You don't need a loan, and you don't take the.
Ask me how many times in my life I've taken the CTA bus.
How many times in your life have you taken
and
the
I've lived,
CTA bus?
I've born and raised in Chicago, lived in the south suburbs, and I've lived in the city itself since 1997. One time I've taken the
CTA. Oh my
CTA
God,
bus.
I love taking the CTA. I do.
I like the L.
Me too.
I like
I love
the L, but I also like the buses. But also, you know what? I'm a little bit, it's unusual because my little boy, I have a 5-year-old, and he loves trains and he
yes.
loves buses.
See,
and
that's
he loves
cool.
all
yeah.
things
yeah.
like public
it's
transportation.
It's an adventure.
You know what we do for fun, straight up? It's like the cheapest, most awesome adventure in Chicago is we will walk out of our house in Portage Park, walk about a block, and then we'll wait with like so much, you know, excitement for the bus, right? Oh, here comes the bus, Mommy, here's the bus. And then we get on the bus and it's like a big production. And then we take the bus all the way to Jefferson Park and he reads all of the signs. He already reads. He's such a good reader. Reads all the signs, and then we get to Jefferson Park, the big hub, and then we get on a CTA train, right?
Oh.
And we take it all the way to Clark and Lake, which is where he says it's his city, and that's where he works, right?
Oh.
At the State of Illinois
oh.
Building. It's the best.
That's cool, and that still probably takes you less time than it does driving
yeah,
in
but
on
then
Kennedy.
On the way back, though, it takes forever because we stop at every stop and get off, and then get back on.
Oh.
Get off and get back on.
Andrea, this is what I'm gonna do
and
with
then,
you.
But it's like the
oh.
cheapest outing, and it's that's it. Then we come back home, and that's it. It's
He's
like
seen
he
the whole world
is
he
so
needs
excited,
to see. Yep.
And he loves it.
Oh.
And so I have a whole new appreciation for our public transportation system.
Andrea,
awesome.
Either I'm going to get, you know, I could be the little kid you go with and do that, or
okay.
we can find a child that in your life, perhaps, who
yeah,
would
I think
be very
I got
excited.
Kids.
Yeah.
I think they would love that.
It's super fun.
And
yes.
it would work out well because one is a huge Sox fan, one is a huge Cub fan,
mm-hmm.
so we could take the red
if
line.
If you take
yes.
the red line and you'll see both.
Go see
yeah.
Wrigley,
we'll
go see
yep.
Comiskey. You'd
take
be all
95th
set.
Street all the way up to Howard.
Yes.
Yep.
We'll do it.
Well, and also, now I think you need to take Metra out to the Glencoe. To the Glencoe Writers
should.
Theater. I think so.
And then he talks to like total strangers. It's cool and freaky at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, right? It's like,
but like I feel like,
him.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Like as long as mommy's around, right? But or his dad. But yeah, it's really cool.
So I think the ideal is like be friendly, but don't make everyone your friend. Andrea, I feel like we've just stacked the studio with powerful women.
Yes, we have.
Woo-hoo.
The already existing studio filled with powerful
there you
women,
go.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, I...
No, but absolutely.
When you take a step back and think of what you accomplished, right?
There, yeah.
Do you ever have, like, things that you wish you had? Well, do you ever wish you went into something else? Like, sometimes I wish I'd gone to law school.
You know,
or maybe medical school.
I do have... sometimes, I mean, I knew I always wanted to be a reporter, a news anchor. I always knew I wanted to be in the media, probably since I was, oh my God... Fourth grade, I wrote an essay. You know, I wanted to be the copy editor of the Chicago Tribune.
What?
Yeah. So in fourth grade, I won the essay contest because who wants to be the copy editor, one copy editor of the Chicago Tribune?
Were there news stories that that compelled you? Like, because when I was a kid, I was talking about this the other day. I used to run home and sit down and watch. I'm not kidding you. When I was in grade school, to watch the Iran-Contra hearings with my dad.
Sure, with Ali North. Oh yeah, wow. And I probably was the only kid who knew like Robert Bork. I mean, you know, I was geekily
exactly.
Yeah, I was always into that. And our fourth grade class took a tour of the paper. Remember, the Freedom Center used to be at Halsted in Chicago, and they would have the actual printing presses going. And I thought that was so cool. And there was one guy just kind of sitting in the corner. He was probably the security guard. And our teacher was like, now that's the copy editor of the paper. And they go through. And I loved spelling and English and writing. So I thought, oh, I'm going to be the copy editor. So I always knew
that's amazing.
Only at one point in, I think maybe high school, I thought maybe I'll go to med school and be a radiologist.
Right.
And my dad, until his dying day, he was always like, well, at least you got the radio part right of radiology.
Aww.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was cute. Yeah. Well, so, but I always kind of knew. Did you too?
No. I wanted to be a marine biologist, and then I wanted to be a lawyer all the way through undergrad. And then I had a professor talk me into history. And then I realized I had more fun sort of making everybody laugh in class. And that's how I ended up here. So I wonder how many boys dream of pursuing, like my son Griffin, although he's politically minded, he thinks about running for office already. And I don't know, I don't remember ever thinking, oh, I want to be, you know, mm-hmm. I think for me, Geraldine Ferraro was the first high profile woman mm-hmm. that I remember seeing on television that was running for office as vice president on the Mondale ticket. Mm-hmm. But how do we, I know, Comptroller, you've been working on this panel and how to get women more involved. And there's so many components of this, and not just like how to encourage them, but how do we encourage those who are in charge of those decisions to help them.
Right? Yeah, right. I mean, well, that's part of what this panel was focusing on. We kind of started with this concept of focusing on the whole sexual harassment per se.
Right.
But then when we went on this 6-city tour to meet with hundreds of women who came out to share their stories in a safe environment where we would be protecting their identities and so forth, right? We had both Democratic and Republican women, some elected officials, but a lot of people that worked on campaigns who wanted to run for office but shared their stories of like what happened to make them not do it.
Right.
Or what their experiences were when they actually did run and how disheartening those experiences were.
Yeah.
And it became an issue that like we came to the realization that, you know, politics is, it's a man's world mm-hmm. Where the rules were made by the men for the men at the time that they were made. And they continued to be made, by the way, by men for men.
Right.
And not looking at how those rules impact women or even stopping to think about it for a second. So we've come to realize as a result of, you know, hearing these voices that the issue of sexual harassment cannot just be fixed overnight. And the way that we can actually get to the root of the behavior and the culture that permeates in an environment of sexual harassment is by actually systemically and actually unabashedly,
ooh,
intentionally making an effort to elevate women into positions of elected office, where women get to a point where we are at least on equal footing, I would say, if not more. I think it's time for us to actually step it up significantly.
Well, sure. For decades and two centuries, we've had it be all men or predominantly men. What would, you know, it wouldn't be that.
But imagine when because it's going to happen, when women are at an equal footing or even more, let's say 51% of the equation here in elected office, for the first time ever, women will actually be in the positions of making the new rules. And I think it's going to be a game changer.
I hope so. And, you know, it's so disheartening. And again, I just want to say I'm checking partisanship at the door. Okay, so it's not, this is not a partisan comment that I'm going to make. But it's so disheartening because I'm anxiously looking forward to the hearings tomorrow, to listening to Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford. I'm looking forward to hearing the testimony.
Right.
I'm so disheartened by the fact that there's all men on the committee, and they have, and this in 2018, I'm not talking white, black, Hispanic, you know, Republican, Democrat. It's all men.
And by the way, all men without a single one being of color.
It's just amazing. It's all men. And then they hired, and I heard the prosecutor referred to today. Now, she's a Maricopa County prosecutor. The female that they've hired to do the questioning. Okay.
And you know what that's about, right?
Yeah. Oh,
they just don't want the optics of a man doing it.
Exactly. Asking them personal questions about an attack or an assault or, you know, where he touched mm-hmm. you, that kind of a thing. But what upsets me is when, I don't know if it was Mitch McConnell or someone referred to her as, well, she's going to be their assistant.
That was weird. That was unfortunate.
Oh my God, I thought this is a woman who has, you know, huge credentials. She's a sex crimes prosecutor, mm-hmm. one of the premier attorneys in the country. and referring to her as an assistant, I thought she could school everybody in the room.
Well, did he call her Sweetie Pie?
No. Good point.
Oh, well,
good point.
I think we'd all have stories about that. We also have in studio with us Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is going to talk to us a little bit later about some important medical issues, but she's the president of the Illinois State Medical Society and assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern, and I'm sure you've run into this too with, you know, we've talked about
it's
this.
It's in every field. And
they've asked you to send the doctor in, haven't they?
I started wearing a gray coat because when I wore a white coat, I was still being mistaken for either a medical student or a nurse.
Right.
Well, that's because you look so young.
Oh, yeah, wow, thank you. That's a good spin, but
there you go.
So we just had a women physicians forum through the Illinois State Medical Society on Saturday just to talk about this topic, to talk about disparities and sexual harassment in medicine. And it's prevalent in medicine just like it is in every other field. And, you know, just this year, for the first time, women made up 51% of medical school classes. And the pipeline has been close to 50% for a number of years. But when you look at when you get to faculty, now it's 40% of faculty are women. And when you get all the way up to the dean level, it's 15% of deans are women.
Right.
So,
pay differences are huge.
Right. So, we're pretty consistent across the board, across specialty, across whether you're full-time, part-time, whatever, when they confound for all the factors, there is a persistent $20,000 per year disparity in pay for physicians between men and women. Yeah. It is consistent.
For the same job.
Multiple studies. Right. Same work.
Which is another element of running for office are the economic differences and access to those resources and able to even have a campaign.
Well, for sure. I mean, look, we heard after meeting with all these women, and it was obviously so obvious, but at the time, it's like we have been, those of us who are already in elected office have had to operate within this old rule structure, right? So it's like you just learn to navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make it right, but you learn to navigate it and get there, right? But the reality of it is, like, these women are like, I'd love to run for office, but, like, I'm a single mom, or I'd love to run for office, and we don't make enough money to actually hire a babysitter or a nanny to take care of our children while we go out to try to save the world, right? And so this issue that women will automatically be asked, you know, well, who's going to take care of your kids?
Every time.
Like, a man is never asked that. As a matter of fact, this morning I did an interview with badass, excuse my French, because she is so awesome, State Senator Melinda Bush on WBEZ, and we're talking about this issue, right? And then
Tony Sarabia did not ask you.
No, he did not. But
okay,
a woman sent in, like, via text message, a message saying, why is it not fair game for a woman to be asked who's going to take care of her kids when she runs for office? And I said, look, it is fair game, but you should ask that same question of a man.
Right. Please, here's the thing.
Right? Never happens. Never happens.
Here's the thing. They still hate having to put the toilet seat down. More after this on 720 WGN.
There isn't a woman alive who hasn't experienced some kind of sexual harassment.
People don't have the confidence right now that there is truly an independent place for them to report sexual harassment and abuse.
This stuff should not be happening. These stories aren't from 1950.
That's the climate that we want to change.
I don't know how you change that climate except by having more conversations like we are. We're talking to Comptroller Susana Mendoza. Susana, I know I should be able to say your name better. It's like it should be built into my DNA because you're fluent in Spanish and I am not.
Es verdad.
Susana Mendoza and Melinda Bush, Senator Melinda Bush, along with State Representative Carol Ammons, have been working on this panel, the Illinois Anti-Harassment Equality and Access Panel, formed in 2018, just this year, to address this. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We also have in studio with us Dr. Kathy Tynes for our Wellness Wednesday. And I realized when we started this conversation, this is part of wellness because, as we heard in that audio, there is no place for women to generally go, especially if they're worried about losing their job. I know that you guys have addressed, like, how do we get more women in politics? How do we make that a space where everyone is welcome?
So the parties have to be intentional about doing this. And what does that mean? That means, like, actively recruiting women to run for office, identifying women who have an interest, a passion for it, and then not just identifying them, but actually putting real resources, financial resources behind them through trainings, through getting them involved, maybe I should say, supporting them at the local level. So that, let's say, for example, tomorrow there were a vacancy at the state legislative level, you'd already have a whole farm team of women who know what it's like to work with budgets, who know what it's like to have to take tough votes, who are ready and willing and wanting to step up to lead in a higher way. But, you know, tomorrow there's going to be a vacancy that opens up. It could happen. And guess what? There'll be 10 men lined up ready to take on that next challenge. But, you know, women historically have to be really convinced to run for office. And then when they do, there's a lack of resources up there to even help them make their way up the ladder. So that needs a change, and it has to be intentional.
Are there resources out there? So say, I mean, I know there's always people willing to throw money toward a certain candidate and whatnot, but are there, I guess, foundations for women, for young women wanting to seek office?
There are, but there's not enough. And my point is that, like, the parties themselves are large enough and have an infrastructure already in place that they could do a much better job of actually being intentional to try to recruit. One of our recommendations in this report is for the parties, each party, to actually hire a director of diversity whose sole job would be to try to focus on recruiting candidates in every region of the state, right? So there's 118 legislative districts, there's 59 senatorial districts, and there's no reason why in each and every district we shouldn't be identifying people for the future, not necessarily for this race. Right? You might really like the candidate that's there, but we have to start looking at the future. People die, they move on to other things, and there shouldn't be like a vacuum. We should have a whole group of people that are getting involved at the local level so that they're ready to take that next step once an opening open up.
Well, especially for people who are already working at the state level. When I was in Springfield, the first year I started going down in 2015, I was talking to one of Governor Rauner's aides, a young woman, very smart, really sharp. She's working on policy. And I said, have you ever considered running for office? And she said, no, I just really like doing behind the scenes work. And I don't know. I mean, and sure, there's men who don't want to run necessarily for office and want to do policy. But I was sort of, you know, she's so young to have already made that decision that she's not even going to consider it already. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is an idea of encouraging people who already have the smarts, who already have the experience, to figure out ways to go, you know, well, how, maybe they don't want to be leaders too. How do you encourage someone to step into the leadership position?
Well, I think part of it is seeing yourself reflected in the leadership, right? So if women don't see women in positions of power, then they have a harder time making that direct connection and connecting those dots, right? So, like, for me, it was a big deal when I got elected statewide as the first Hispanic, not just for women, but also for Hispanic boys out there, Hispanic people in general, people of color, period, right? That you think that anything is achievable, but it's easier to believe it when somebody else already accomplished it. So, I mean, it was cool to be the first, but I don't want to be the last. And I hope that encourages other kids, especially, right, to think that anything is possible.
Did you know, Andrea,
it's possible for them.
Yeah. The first Asian was stepped into office last year in the legislature.
Can you believe
that?
Teresa
Ma.
I know. 2017.
Of either gender.
And the first water reclamation commissioner, too, was the first Asian was elected as well. And it's like 2018.
Oh,
this is nutso.
It's insane. And I was surprised. Who was the director who was nominated last year? Not Catherine Bigelow. I can't remember her name, but when she came on stage, Barbara Streisand was giving out the directing award, and there had not been female nominated for Best Director in 30 years, since Prince of Tides.
You're right. Reflection makes a difference. Let's take a break here, continue our conversation in just a moment. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. We're joined by Comptroller Susana Mendoza and Dr. Kathy Tynes. We'll be back. Yeah, we don't have time for bump music. We don't have any time for bump music. this show started late after the very long White Sox game. It didn't even go into extra innings. It was laborious, to say the least, but we're excited to be on the air. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. And right now, we have a pair of tickets to give away. It's your chance to hang out with us at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. It's the world premiere of Witch on Thursday, October 11th at 7:30. We'll hang out with you before the performance, because the devil's going to come knocking on your door. Andrea.
He's going to knock and ask for a Supreme Court appointment. Yes. That's my best guess.
Don't do it at our cocktail reception.
I like this. Oh, here it is.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Oh, he came in.
Oh, he brought a dog.
He brought a dog.
We are in so much trouble.
Oh, no. He brought a dog.
Lightning, thunder.
Oh, a dog bit someone.
Okay, so we have a trivia question that I think this is, we were talking about this before the show, and I don't think, I feel badly because Dr. Tynes was not hanging out with us while we were sharing stories.
Our hijinks and merriment.
Hijinks and merriment. So here's the question, and this is in regards to, now, can I ask real quick, what's the difference between comptroller and controller? I mean, I always call you comptroller.
Oh, that's funny. So, so it's spelled like comptroller here in Illinois, right? So M-P-T-R-O-L-L-E-R. But it's actually pronounced controller.
Seems weird,
but the actual, like the root of the word comes from controller. So like lots of people will call it comptroller when they read it, but actually former controllers for the most part called it controller.
All right.
But, you know, it's like potato, potato. Take your pick.
Well, I'll say controller.
Maybe when I'm mad, I say controller.
Controller Mendoza.
Yeah, that's right.
So 312-981-7200. In the last year and a half or so, Controller Mendoza was involved in pulling somebody over. It was basically a citizen's arrest. It's an individual in Chicago who has had some notoriety in the past in regards to, he's actually been, I believe, sentenced twice for other illegal activities. And if you listen to the Pretty Late Show of Patty Vasquez, you may have heard me discuss him because I knew him. He was my babysitter in, when I was in grade school. Stop it. 312, it's a true story. 312-981-7200. And here's the thing. You actually have a... Yeah, I know. 312-981-7200. Who did a controller Mendoza basically apprehend as he hit other vehicles? Other people tried to stop him. It was a pedestrian situation and chased him into a mini mart, videotaped the entire thing. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Who did Controller Mendoza perform a citizen's arrest on? I mean, that's essentially
what he
did.
I didn't really arrest him, though. He took off. But I did get him on video, and I had all the evidence we needed. And he is being prosecuted.
She was like a little mini detective.
Tough.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and if you've been listening to the show since 2014, every once in a while I will tell stories about this individual who... resides in Norwood Park and was my babysitter.
I think he moved.
He doesn't live in Norwood.
Wait, you should.
I don't
say,
know if he still lives.
Okay, because when you said he was my babysitter,
he babysat me.
Yeah, because I thought you hired him.
Oh,
to
yeah.
babysit your kids.
I think she's like, Patty's parents were a little bit maybe lenient. Yes. I'm just saying,
whole other show about my dad's own indictments. The FBI showed up when I was 3 years old.
My
mom goes, "That's okay." They had a search warrant, and I thought, "Well, if there isn't any more smoking in the house, that's okay with me."
So she thought it was about cigarettes.
No. She figured if they arrested him,
then he wouldn't be smoking in the house. Got it. Okay, got it. Well, that is true.
It's true love.
Maybe she turned him
in. It is true love. Yeah. She's like, I'm sick of the Pall Mall.
Man, Patty never thought of that. Leave it to the president of the Med Society to come up with that. Right. It's great.
I can't take it anymore.
Dr. Tynes, are you saying my mom was a snitch?
I'm just saying.
She was a mole. She was like an FBI mole.
My mom married him. Anyway, when he was still on appeal. Anyway, so we are talking...
It's like that TV show, Married to the Mob, right?
These are things I didn't know.
Yeah,
this is stuff I was never told before.
Yeah, you know, prosecutor found guilty of bribery. Anyway, so some topics that we want to talk about. Speaking of laws in the state of Illinois, hold on a second. Arthur has an answer to our trivia question and a chance to hang out with me and Andrea at the world premiere of Witch at Writers Theater in Glencoe. Arthur, do you have an answer for us?
Yes, JB, John Boyle, Quarters.
Oh,
Quarters!
Man, it was too easy, right? Did you Google it?
No, he said Quarters. I think that he seemed pretty comfortable with that.
That's it.
Were you familiar with the story when it broke that Controller Mendoza had chased him down?
Well, yeah, I'm a lifelong friend of JB.
There you go.
You didn't babysit Patty too, did you?
Did you wait, Arthur? Wait a minute. Did you grow up over by there? Did you grow up over by there, Arthur?
No, but I was over there. I know his mom, Val, and
his dad.
She passed away a little while ago, but I think he's hanging out over at Sabatino's over by there now.
Oh, and it's closing.
And I like that place too.
It is closing.
It is. Bummer,
I had my wedding reception there.
Did you?
All right, Arthur, hold on the line, and we're going to find out about Dr. Tynes' wedding reception. You've got a pair of tickets to hang out with us at the world premiere of Witch at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. You had your wedding reception at Sabatino's?
Yes. It was a small, intimate wedding in our backyard.
Aww.
About 30 people, and then we all piled into limousines and we went down to Sabatino's.
It's so great, isn't it?
It was so such good food, and we had a nice intimate space, and we had a keyboard player, and we were dancing and singing, and it was
fun. We should go have it
before it closes.
Yes,
it closes December 23rd.
You know, we can.
Let's do it.
Well, I shouldn't say this on the air. I'll figure out. We can. There are like private party of possibilities.
We should do. Yes. Let's have the show party there. We'll do a show holiday party.
That sounds really good.
Totally.
I like the idea.
We'll get really the boss's nice credit card, and we'll do a show party. We will, because we don't break the budget ever.
No, we've never broken the budget.
You guys are so fiscally responsible. I love
we
it.
Are,
we
hang out with you. Very proud.
I love talking
you're coming
about fiscal
to the party.
Responsibility. That's right.
Show party. That's it.
Before we continue with our conversation, I do want to say hi to Christy to make sure her text is read so that. That Nick D's show knows about it. She says, thank you for the great show last night, Nick D, and for reading her text on the air. That's from Christy from the 224. So we've been talking about, you know, we often talk about legislation on this show. Are there new laws in regards to the medical industry?
Yes. So the Illinois State Medical Society, part of what we do is, you know, introduce laws that are beneficial to patients and physicians, and we also support laws that have been introduced. All of our legislative priorities pass the legislature this year, which is phenomenal. So I'll run through a few of them. There was a law that improves access to mental health and substance use disorder treatment. So there's no longer a requirement for step therapy for mental health. Step therapy is where you are required to try a cheaper drug first and fail it, and then move on to more expensive drugs in order for it to get covered by your insurance.
Yikes.
That's step therapy. And prior authorization just means that, you know, your doctor's office has to call and fill out forms and jump through hoops in order to get, you know, the medicine that your doctor thinks is the best one for you in order to get it covered. So both of those have been eliminated for mental health and substance use disorder. And we've expanded access.
Do you have an applause track?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. I don't know where it is.
Go ahead. Huge win for patients. Also expanded access to medication-assisted treatment, which is the most effective treatment for substance use disorder using Suboxone. Another huge one is preventing disruption in your formulary during your policy year. So at the beginning of the year, you buy a policy, you have a certain expectation of what's going to be covered on your policy. And in the middle of the year, insurance companies and pharmacy benefit managers have been just making changes in their formulary and taking off medicine that you've been taking for years, or making it a higher copay, or substituting it for something that's cheaper. And they do this to you even though you're paying your premiums and, you know, you have that same policy throughout the year. So they can no longer do that. They have to start and end the year with the same formulary and not switch your medicines on you.
Good.
Which, another huge win.
And you think that would have already been in effect. You know,
I know.
You think that's something that's
so common sense.
It's going to be so frustrating for doctors.
Totally. You have absolutely no idea. It makes us insane.
Not to mention that from my perspective as the state's chief fiscal officer, it's so much more expensive because when these drugs fail, where do these people end up? In the ER,
in the
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or in jail.
Right.
Right? When you're talking about mental health issues.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. Another big win is for patients with stage 4 advanced metastatic cancer to get their cancer drugs covered. So there's no fail first or step therapy for those kind of patients because, you know what, they don't have time. So so now the insurance companies have to cover their expensive drugs.
Excellent.
Another win is allowing Medicaid patients to stay with their physicians. So even if physicians no longer have a contract with Medicaid, they can still take care of Medicaid patients. So that's a big win for continuity of care. There's another law that extends refills for non-controlled substances from 12 months to 15 months. So people typically see their doctor on an annual basis. If you miss your annual appointment, you're not going to have to go without your drugs until you can get in to be seen.
That's great.
Excellent.
Were these all signed?
So these were all the ones that were signed.
Uh-oh.
So
good
point.
There's some on the desk?
Yes.
Still?
Oh, no.
There's some that were vetoed.
There are two that were vetoed and that I'm livid about, okay?
No.
One is Tobacco 21. It raises the age to buy tobacco products to the age of 21 throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that your most vulnerable time to get hooked on smoking is when you're a teenager. This has been done in other states, and it's been done in the city of Chicago and other municipalities, but this would make it law statewide, and the governor vetoed it.
Was there any reasoning behind that? I mean, obviously it passed out of the General Assembly.
Yes. So. Yes. With majorities, we were part of a broad coalition. It was a very popular law, and my understanding or my belief, or I don't know. I think it's because he wants to be friendly to business interests.
Right.
So that this is, it's an election year. So,
okay. You know what's, you yeah. know what the only thing more fun than taking on Bruce Rauner all the time is? Beating Bruce Rauner all the time. So you've got to override his veto.
Yes, absolutely.
I did it unanimously in the House. Woo. First time ever in the history of Yay. The state of Illinois.
Which bill?
My Debt Transparency Act, the one that allows the state's chief fiscal officer to actually see the bills, yeah. right? Like, you'd think that that's something.
What? Yes. What a novel idea.
He vetoed that. And, like, every single Democrat and Republican
every
said,
single.
That's totally insane. So
you
she's
supposed
right.
to sign the bills and write the checks if you can't see the bills.
100%.
I'm sorry, sign the checks.
Well, no, let me tell you. I couldn't see $8.7 billion worth of state liabilities.
What no. type of like, magic
it's
is
insane.
That?
It's insane. I had no idea when I ran for controller that the controller of the state of Illinois could only have limited visibility of the state's liabilities.
You had to do it with blinders on.
No.
Yeah, and it's been like this forever.
Or is that
no,
just...
no. It's been like this forever. Just nobody challenged this premise. And so
that's
now we've
insane.
Never been in the absolute horrendous fiscal crisis that we are today. Like, I walked into a total mess, but it would be hard job anyway to manage through even good finances, but it's impossible to manage through a fiscal crisis when you can only see about half of the liabilities and you have no idea how much deficit spending is happening. And I spent 10 years in the legislature and just assumed, like every other person I worked with, that the numbers coming out of the controller's office were legitimate numbers. But turns That's out they're insane. Not.
It's wow. like when you want to see a document and everything's redacted.
Yeah, it's like at home. If you, let's say you have a credit card and you know that you only put $1,000 of spending on that credit card and you don't get any monthly
statement.
You got a guess.
Yeah. You only get a statement once a year, which is what happened in the controller's office. Once a year in October, let's say you've been spending from January through October, you get a report in October, and all it tells you is the total amount that you owe, and it's $100,000. You're like, what the hell?
what did I buy?
Who spent $99,000 more than I did,
Whoa,
right?
Did I buy a lot of Starbucks?
And you're going to have like
having teenagers.
A big what? Talk, or your kids yeah. are going to get kicked out of the house, or you're divorcing your husband, right? So,
wow.
like, the point is, it's insane. Nobody would run a household like that, much less a business, and that's how the state has been running. So he vetoed it, we overrun him. So do it, it feels good.
Oh yeah.
And what's the other one that got vetoed?
So the other one, so this was introduced actually by Illinois State Medical Society, and all it did was correct an egregious loophole in the law. So there have been laws on the books that require workers' comp insurance companies to allow electronic billing, like everybody else does, to provide explanations of benefits so that you can understand why they denied something, and also to pay their bills on time, and if they don't, they have to pay a penalty.
This seems like common sense.
Okay,
yes.
Again, I'm listening to this like, wait a minute.
There
why
was a loophole
already...
where there was no enforcement in the law. And we doctors tried going to the Workers' Comp Commission. They didn't want to touch it. They tried going to the courts. They didn't want to touch it. It was like they were both pointing, you know, mm-hmm. pointing at each other. And so there was no recourse. So guess what the insurance companies did? They require paper bills, and they don't pay their bills on time, and they don't pay the penalty. So they basically were getting away with murder. So they just got away without paying physicians millions of dollars that are owed in back pay. So this law would have corrected it. It would allow them to go to court to sue for the money, just like you could go for any commercial insurer. You could go to court to sue if you thought Blue Cross Blue Shield wasn't paying you. So he wow. vetoed this one.
Wow.
Overrided.
Override.
Yes.
Yes. We are working on that.
Before we go to the break, real quick, Southside Frank's been holding on. Southside Frank remembers a story about quarters, Boyle. What do you remember about my stories with quarters?
Hey, how's it going, Patty?
It's going well, Frank. Thanks.
Very good, very good. I just left work in LaGrange, and I'm nearly home. But I wanted to let you all know that I remember the day that Susana Mendoza stopped that gentleman in that big oversized Ford pickup truck and let him know that she was on his case and he had better stop. And I remember, Ms. Mendoza, you said, you are being filmed. You know that,
yeah.
don't you?
I said, say cheese.
And I was like, this little lady just stopped this dude in this big oversized truck and shut him down.
Do you remember what she was, do you remember what she was, what was she riding? Do you remember?
If I remember correctly, she was either on foot or on a bicycle.
There it is. Yeah. Yeah.
There. I was just like, she rolled up on this dude and stopped him in this big pickup truck. I was impressed.
You were like a Charlie's Angel. Oh, my goodness.
I said, we have the right woman in place for comptroller here in the state of Illinois. This is about business.
Frank, you know what? I've got a Lou Malnati's for you because you remember more details than anybody else has.
That's awesome.
Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus locations in Chicago or order online at loumalnati's.com. Enjoy the pizza, all right, Southside Frank?
Will do, Patty. Thank you.
Bye, Frank.
I also work Uber in that same area.
Yeah. There you go. And I love that he sent me a photo of his of Wrigley and his car, his really cool car in front of that. So you can go to Patty V Show and check out Southside Frank's photo on my page. More after this on 720 WGN. Before we take another break, because we went a little bit long there, I want to find out about something that comes up quite a bit on the show when we have Dr. Kathy Tynes on the air. She's the president of the Illinois State Medical Society and assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. Also joining us is Controller Susana Mendoza. We've been talking about the Illinois Anti-Harassment Equality and Access Panel. I want to find out about the National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, because this came up on the very first show you were ever on.
Yeah.
Caused some controversy, but this is important because you don't want to leave something in your medicine cabinet or somewhere in the house where someone else might take something that might be dangerous for them.
Absolutely. So over a third of all U.S. prescriptions go unused every year. And leaving them in your medicine cabinet is just a temptation for anybody who might be visiting your home to browse and take what they want. And it's, it's a fact that a lot of people who get hooked on opioids get them through diversion, through diverted drugs. So get rid of them. If you're not using them, get rid of them. They're dangerous. They're dangerous to you and your family and anyone else who comes into your household. So the National Prescription Drug Take Back Day has been happening over the last several years. Now it's twice a year. It's sponsored by the DEA. And there's a website. If you go to our website, isms.org/takeback, there'll be a link so you can put in your zip code and find locations near you where you can take those drugs back. And that's going to be on October 27th. And last year, in April, Illinois took back 37,000 pounds of unused medications.
Wow. That's a lot of antibiotics. That's all the antibiotics.
That too. Yeah, all the ones that you're
having to use. Hydrocodone.
Exactly. And that's the ideal way to dispose of your medications. If you don't have access to a take back day location and you just want to get it out of your medicine cabinet, you can put them in kitty litter or coffee grounds and put them in your trash.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really desperate, you don't have access, someone's coming to your house, you can put them down the toilet. But
that was where we got controversial.
It's on the DEA's website too, but yes, it was, people were really upset about that. But yes, we don't want all these drugs showing up in our drinking water. So it's best if you get rid of them the legitimate way if you can. If it is, a more crucial urgency, you can put them down the toilet.
And you shouldn't take them after the expiration date, correct?
Correct. I mean, most medications really aren't harmful, mm-hmm, if you take them, with a few exceptions. I think doxycycline is one of them. They just become less effective.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It was me. But I also, I was just thinking about the calls we got the first night, and I know we're going to get some texts about flushing them down the toilet. Let's flush
them down the toilet.
That's a last resort, okay?
Bury them in the coffee ground.
In an emergency situation.
Put them in the kitty litter. Nobody wants them after that.
No, right. Especially after it's already been soiled on.
Use kitty litter.
Right. Empty
guarantees.
No one's going after
not
that.
Not even the cat.
Yeah, after the cat is nowhere near it, okay? Right. Yeah. You're going to get a whole other group of folks.
Exactly. Oh, no. You're poisoning the cats. Let's take a break here and let the hostility begin. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We've been talking with Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is the president of the Illinois State Medical Society. And again, if you're wondering about the National Prescription Drug Take Back Day on October 27th, go to isms.org for more information about that and also to find out more about the society. She's also assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. Also, we've had Controller Susana Mendoza, who we've held her hostage. And her driver, we want to apologize to her driver. We've been having fun and not let her leave yet. So thank you so much.
My friend drove me over here, but I thought we were going to be here for like 15 minutes. And I know. It's like, oh, it's 1 o'clock.
I know.
Awesome.
You
feel so bad.
Do you remember remember last time you were on the show for like the whole 3 hours.
I know, it was so fun. But you know what? I thought I was going to die the next morning. Oh, I don't know how you guys do this.
That's
all
how
the
we
time.
Feel every day.
I know.
Yeah. I'm like, it's how true. Did we do up, that? Like,
it just happened. It is. It's true.
It was
now,
super fun though.
Well, that's what we try to do, mix it up a little bit. And you've been doing some important work as a doctor has as well. And of course, you've been working. Is there a website for the Illinois Anti-Harassment Equality and Access Panel?
Yep. So it's the initials AHEA panel. .org.
Okay.
Super simple. So go people, check it out.
Yeah, please
read
check
the
it out.
Report.
Learn more about this. And now comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire, joins us in studio. And of course, he's got his upcoming performance of Everyone's a Lawyer. And that's going to be on September 30th at the Laugh Factory. And he is determined to keep alive one of his games, one of the game shows that we have on the air every Monday night. It's formerly known as the White House Deadpool, where people would wager. They would take a spot, right? It is kind of like bingo. You mentioned like bingo.
Yeah.
Sure.
You would pick somebody who you think is going to be next out of the administration.
Right.
So
whether like, fired or
they
dismissed.
Leave on their own. Right. So of
so
course
like Kelly or Sessions. Rothenstein.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Right, Sessions.
Right, exactly.
Sessions. Yeah.
So
somebody to pick from.
Hopefully I know. Trump. And,
sorry. Always an option.
So always an option. I don't know that anyone's. Some people have chosen Pence. Which was always interesting. But it came to, you know, I had often shown some reservations about the title of that game.
Sure.
Much like I'm not thrilled with What's Paul Eating? Where we just
also
listen to Paul chewing
segment.
With his mouth open, basically.
And people guess and win amazing prizes for guessing what I'm eating.
Right. So Deadpool.
Highbrow.
We were talking about it in a show meeting, and just it was this sense was that it sounds like someone's gonna die and it sounds a little morbid.
Sure.
So we're trying to find a new name for it, and so Paul has dropped by to give us a new name for
Perf Pool.
What was it?
Perf Pool.
Perf Pool.
No, it has to be. No, not.
No, less.
I mean, it just sounds very appropriate for this administration.
The alliteration is on.
Like, take your pick.
Well, but
there was a lot of good
we
ones.
We could totally score a whole bingo card with that.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although Betsy DeVos is often come up as somebody, or Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
That's true.
As somebody, although they're kind of they're you know
not so much
they
a shield, thing, but the,
right? They deflect. Yeah. They deflect. They enable
the deflecting pool.
Deflecting. Yeah. Ooh,
oh.
The deflecting pool.
The ones that we had callers.
No, but those are who would stay in though.
Yeah,
right?
It's true. Yes, yeah, she's it. Yeah, she's in the deflecting pool. Yeah. Yes.
The ones that we had on Monday when people were calling were pretty good. Do we remember those names? I think
I believe one down. Was take the dossier, leave the stapler.
That was yours.
That's
you
my
keep
favorite.
Pushing that.
Yeah, I like your.
And
your
Griffin's
sons.
Was I thought yeah fired
and
furious.
Yeah, Griffin came up with fired and furious.
That was good.
That's a good one.
You like that?
Yeah.
One?
I like that.
I feel
yeah.
bad stealing it from him as long as you know,
Trump dumps.
Steal it.
Trump dumps.
That was one.
That
too.
Is a good one.
Yeah,
but
people feel
gross,
like,
but yeah.
Yeah, people feel like it might sound a little scatological.
Michael had
no,
the
it
chopping
sounds pretty
block.
Appropriate. There you go.
What was Michael's?
Michael's was the chopping block.
I'm still 100% behind the chopping block.
No, because there's a chopping block right here at Merchandise Mart, and it's awesome.
I've never heard of that.
We're just joking. It was one of the worst ideas we've ever heard.
No. That is pretty bad.
No.
Wow. All right, Paul, I'm ready to hear Paul's new choices.
Yes, what are some of your new titles?
Okay, I've got a few. Well, first of all, Patty.
Yes.
I only learned that I was supposed to have names about 5 minutes ago. I gave you a couple via text.
I know. That's what you're
But I didn't think that this was going to be aired out.
A bit.
So the ones that are better than Chopping Block, Michael, are In and Out. In and Out, like
the burger.
But that's not popular in Chicago.
Okay,
nobody,
that's why it works. And then one was Orange Slipped instead of Pink Slipped.
Orange Slipped isn't.
I don't mind that.
I don't mind Orange Slipped.
I don't either.
I think that is improper then, isn't it, Michael?
How about Flushed and Furious? No, it's not good either.
That's not bad.
Flushed, because I'm thinking I went off a Trump
Dumps. Flushed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still like Trump Dumps.
They didn't like Sad Sacks. They didn't like that one. Mm-hmm.
You didn't like that one either? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
that
not
sounds
sure.
dirty. People it think it does. Sounds dirty. Yeah.
Well, you
since
had
the bosses didn't really like Deadpool, I'm trying to think if they're going to like.
Patty had like, she came up with like Open Casket or something. I'm like, I think that's worse.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's just your idea. Anyway.
I think we should have a vote.
Is the game, though, still about
who's
going to get dumped?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to make
who's
sure.
Who's out?
We're still
the game was never
here.
In jeopardy. It was just the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
The game is phenomenal.
All right,
I
time's
think
up.
Trump dump is the best. Trump dump is the best.
Wow,
she's calling it.
She likes
it. Does because it's like it
it's
gets to the
alliteration,
point,
yeah.
And it's about you know
you got dumped
the current administration,
right?
You get dumped, yeah.
Trump dump has multiple meanings. Yes, of course. I kind of like
I'm
it.
I'm just worried
swamp
about
dump?
The
swamp. Oh, swamp dump.
Swamp
dump. He was supposed to drain the swamp.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How about chump dump?
Chump dump. Trucker Rich has an idea. Hey, Trucker Rich, what's your idea?
Hey, in line with the game shows, it could be resigned or not resigned.
Resigned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or dismissed with two S's.
Dismissed. I kind of like that, too. Yeah. Thanks, Trucker Rich.
Yeah, dismissed.
Or fired or not fired.
Fired or not fired. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because maybe they survived.
He says they resigned, and he says he was fired, and he says, no, I resigned. So
I like it.
You know how it is. All right. Have a good evening.
Thanks.
I didn't want to interrupt your fun. You guys
We need all the input we can get.
Andrea's got it.
How about designated survivor?
Oh, like the TV show on ABC.
Right, like survivor, like who survived, but then designated because it kind of has that whole tie-in.
Designated survivor.
I just want to say that
but
the
they
ones,
didn't survive.
I know the naming rights.
I like it. Yeah.
But
like
they
it.
Didn't survive. They've been tossed or they're leaving.
That's the irony of the name, Patty.
Did they survive?
Right. What's the show called where they can't have the everyone in the same room? Isn't that a show on Hulu or something where the president can't be in the
That's
same?
The designated survivor.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I
What's
see
the
what
show
saying.
Called?
Designated survivor.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a good idea, Paul.
Yeah.
It works.
Like how all my ideas have made it and the chopping block is gone. That's all I care about.
Oh.
Wow. Wait, who says chopping block is gone? Did we decide on that when I was on the phone? I'm still behind that 100%.
What was Patty keeps trying the one with leave the dossier? I think that one's.
No, take the dossier, leave the stapler.
I think
because you pack
gone
up all
too.
Your things.
It's gone.
Because you pack up all your things.
That's funny
that
they tell you to leave the stapler.
Yeah, right.
It's just too long a name, Patty.
It's like Godfather. It's leave the gun, take
the cannoli.
Cannoli. Yeah. Sorry. All right. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I think that's I don't mind.
Trump dump seems to be in the lead.
Controller Mendoza, we have to make sure that you get out of here because we've held you long enough against your wishes.
She's going to start videotaping us. I'm videotaping all of you.
Say cheese.
You're on camera. Say cheese.
He does love cheese curds, as we know. Right?
Cheese curds, is that what he said?
Did. He was all about the curds today.
Mr. Curd.
I think he meant cheese curds, but
yeah. Mr. Curd.
Have you had cheese curds?
Oh,
they're good. Amazing.
Yeah.
Delicious.
They're so yummy. Good.
When they're fresh, they squeak when you chew them.
Squeaky
yes.
cheese.
Squeaky cheese.
They're so bad for you. The president of the Med Society has spoken. They're bad for you.
By the way, speaking of cheese, they're going to have macaroni and cheese candy canes this Christmas. Did you see that?
No.
I'm serious.
No.
I'll show you guys a picture.
No.
They can't be good, though.
No.
That sounds...
Hey, everybody, it was a real
Thank
pleasure.
You, Controller.
Yeah,
thank you so
do
much.
Do it again.
How she exits the room.
And I'm going to go to bed.
Yes. On that note, cheese curds.
And please join us sometime when we're on earlier. We'd love to have you back.
Hey,
thank
awesome.
You.
Seriously,
thank you so much.
Much.
More after this on 720 WGN.
Hello, world, is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Something happy to tell you. We have a submission for the name of Paul's game that I kind of like. Trick or Trump.
It's good for October.
It is.
Yeah. But then what do you do in November?
That's true.
Why don't we keep it for October and then
change the name
every month? Thanksgiving? Trick Trump's giving
in November?
We'll do like a holiday name every right. And then Christmas?
It'll be Givesmas.
It'd be,
I don't know,
Shivesmas.
Yeah. Wrong.
Maybe we'll bring it for December. We'll bring chopping block.
Oh, man.
I think that's a good idea.
Excellent.
Lay a log by the fire.
Or the cannoli.
There you go.
That's not bad. What about the cannoli one that Patty had? The stapler one?
Take the stapler, leave the dossier. Wait. No. Leave the stapler, take the dossier. Now I forgot my own thing.
I have a feeling they're going to cancel each other out.
Yeah.
Someone's going to make that decision.
I think Trump dumps.
And it's not going to be me.
Trump dumps is the winner so far.
You guys make it sound scatological, though.
I love
that's
the,
okay.
I like that.
That's
I don't get see that getting past us. Do you think?
I think that it's funny because the game is now just us finding the name of the game.
I know. We haven't even played the game yet. Yeah.
Why don't you think that's
exactly?
It's dumping someone.
Oh, I
from
know.
The show.
I know.
But it's toilet humor. It's good toilet humor.
Yeah.
Oh, and we get it.
There's a podcast at WGN called Two Guys One Album, and that got passed.
What is it, why? What is that in reference to?
Nothing.
Yeah.
What is that? What are you saying?
I get it now.
No.
What do you mean?
You know,
okay.
Two what? Guys One Album.
What? I don't. What is it in reference to?
Paul?
It's an album, two guys talking about.
It has nothing to do with it. It might come up in the hearing tomorrow, though.
Pulling back the curtain. So, Andrea, right. Before you joined us on the show, before we got together and created this show, Paul and... Michael. And Michael created this podcast. So Michael and I are sitting in the office with Todd and Stephanie, and I'm like, yeah, I think that's really cool that you guys, you know, and like apparently like everyone's cool about the title, and they're looking at me, and I'm like, well, you know, because the two girls and they were just looking at me, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
oh okay, and I just got that now too,
and Michael's looking at me like. Eject. He's like trying to tell me, he's like, stop talking. And I can't stop talking. Because And then I started saying, don't Google it, whatever you do, don't Google. But the moment you tell someone not to Google it.
They're going
to
Google it.
Well, because they're curious, because I can't vocalize.
You can never unsee that.
I have actually listened to your podcast and never knew of the double entendre till just now.
Either did I, by the way, Andrea. I'm just
seriously,
pointing
I'm
out.
Me
I'm
so neither.
It's very straightforward.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Paul, sure. I'm so naive. Oh my God.
I just want to point out that the new one was released, Two Guys, One Album. We do Beck Odelay.
Yes, we do.
So if you want to listen to what they're talking about, that's how you hype
they're
it up.
They're meaning you guys.
What's that?
You said what they're talking about.
What everyone's talking about.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, like the podcast the people. That we're talking about.
That we're just talking about now. Because people are like, what are they talking about? What is the double meaning? I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Right.
But it was Michael, just the look on his face is like, he had this look on his face like, please, someone strike her dumb right now to right. mute her. So how do I turn
it's
her
It's Michael's mic- idea. I was like, what?
I still see no connection towards it at all. It's just two guys talking about an album.
Yeah. What
it's
else so, are you going to
so
call
innocent,
it?
It's so innocent, yeah. Really.
Nothing.
You guys are crazy. Yeah.
Is that the halo? Is that your halo?
Good yes. for you.
Right. Hey.
You know what I was doing in that meeting?
Wait, you know what I was doing in that meeting?
Yeah.
You don't have a noise for that?
I wasn't in the meeting.
No, this is from like last year.
Okay, good.
This was when they started the podcast.
I washed my hands of it.
You're pointing at me like that, Patty. Like, those
bad boys.
You can find it on WGNRadio.com and on SoundCloud and anywhere you can find your podcasts.
Right.
Blatant, shameless promotion. Blatant, I like it. That's what we got to do with the chopping block.
There you go. As well as everyone's lawyer. There's some more.
That's my something good.
That's your something good. My something good is one time, we didn't get to this, but I want to continue this next time Dr. Tynus joins us. Of course, she's the assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern, president of Illinois State Medical Society. But I don't know if I ever told you this, but my mom goes, Patricia, I wasn't feeling very well last night, so I Googled my symptoms. I thought I was having a stroke.
Oh,
from what they were saying online.
Oh my goodness.
But I thought, well, I don't have time.
Okay.
I have too many dishes to do. So I went to bed.
Oh, I hope she's feeling better.
I guess I'm okay.
I hope it wasn't a stroke.
So, but folks should be aware that that's not your primary source of medical information.
It's very common. People do it all the time. I see it every single day. And studies have shown that the majority of people, over 70%, have found that it actually helped their interaction with their physician because it gave them a little bit of background on the possible diagnosis. And so they already had some familiarity. However, about 40% of patients find that it increases their anxiety. And I certainly see that every day as well. So I see both sides of that. So if you're the kind of person who kind of tends towards a little bit more anxiety, you may want to stay away from Dr. Google and actually just go see your doctor.
Right.
But if that's not an issue for you, then, you know, I think it's fine to Google your symptoms and, you know, it may be helpful. And it certainly, hopefully, will be helpful when you eventually come to see me, because that's what you should do. And you should also listen to your doctor over the internet. I'm sorry, but that's what you should do.
I went to my doctor today for my annual checkup.
Yeah.
And we had a little fight because I told them that when you do the weight, that my jeans were on and that's... 2.5 pounds.
Oh, my. I agree. My jeans are 5 pounds.
And
you should see how much my bra weighs. More after this on 720 WGN.